Well, good morning, and thank you for coming along this morning. It's great to see you, and it's interesting, isn't it? The first song, we had more verses than you had, and on that song, you had more verses than we had. So we're doing really well, aren't we? So it's really good to be a musician this morning. I think the last song, at least, has only got three verses, and we're pretty sure on that. Okay, well, you might have added a fourth one. Okay. Well, we come to the last of our Advent series. We've been looking at the cast of Christmas, some of these characters that we see in the Christmas story. We've looked at Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, the chief priests and teachers of the law. On Sunday morning, we looked at the wise men. But today we come and see Jesus is actually God in the manger. Now, I don't know how you are remembering catchy headlines from the newspapers, but there are some really good headlines that stick in people's minds. This one from the New York Times: government tape holds up New York bridges. Yeah, quite remarkable, isn't it? Or police help dog bite victim. Depends how you read it, doesn't it? What about this one? Passengers hit by cancelled trains in the Oxford Times. You don't think that's very good. I think this is my favourite. Filming in London cemetery angers local residents, according to the Evening Standard. You know, literally headlines that were captured from different newspapers over different days. You know, but headlines are there, aren't they, for a day or so, and then they're very often forgotten. They soon become old news. They're put away in the archives. But as I've already said, the real headline of today, of Christmas Day, is the fact that Jesus is God himself in the manger. He's the real star of the show, if you like, who makes his debut entrance onto the world stage on Christmas Day. And it's just at the right time. Now, if any of you have ever seen Michael Friends play Noises Off, you will know it's about a theatre company who are in absolute chaos. They just can't get their performance right. Things always go wrong. There's one character in particular called Selsdon Mowbray, who was played in the film by Denham Elliott. And he's a real problem in this theatre company. He's an elderly, half-deaf actor. He has a very long and storied career, but the problem is he has a drinking problem. And because of that, he never makes his entrance at the right time. The play will be going on and then everything will stop waiting for him to make his appearance and he doesn't turn up. Or other times he'll appear on stage at the wrong time. And the stage crew behind the scenes have to keep a constant eye out for him because unless he's in full sight, they think he might be having a little drink. And, of course, that just makes everything even worse. But you know, my friends, as God enters the world stage at the first Christmas, as God in human form came down to planet Earth, there are no such problems because everything is according to plan. And the entrance is just at the right time. In fact, everything about the Christmas story is about God's timetable. And about 50 years after Jesus was born, the Apostle Paul wrote to the churches in Galatia, and he said this: but when the time had fully come, God sent his son. You know, when Paul says, but when, he's talking about an event that's been planned for a long, long time. Many things had to take place first before the but when could happen. Many things had to take place before God's next plan of his timetable swung into action. And of course, right from the early chapters of Genesis, God has been saying, hasn't he, that he's going to provide just what humankind needs. Do you remember to Abraham and Isaac, God said he would provide the Messiah, God's chosen one. The prophets, didn't they, in the Old Testament, told about God's one who would come, the Messiah. But, you know, the prophets or the people who heard the prophet's message didn't know when it would happen. All they knew was a day that would come where it will be like the sunrise bringing light to a dark world as God's promise came good. And as Tim read to us from Isaiah chapter 9, they knew it would be on a day when a child would be born, on a day when a son would be given. And so, when the time had fully come, Paul says, God sent his son. And we can't possibly know, can we, why just over 2,000 years ago equaled the right time for that to happen. But you know, as the centuries slowly rolled by, as history was being carved out, God's timetable was being completed. You see, from history, we learn, don't we, that all the understanding and all the learning in the world can't introduce us to God. And so 2,000 years ago, enough history had been made to convince us that we needed help. And so when the time had fully come, God sent his son. He did something amazing. He introduced himself to us as he came to earth. You know, the Greek New Testament literally has the sense of God sending his son on a mission. We sometimes speak, don't we, about a person who's determined to achieve a goal in life is that they're on a mission, that they're going to do what they want to do. And that's just the sense in which God sent his son. Jesus, who had existed with God the Father before time began, didn't cease to be God. He remained what he was, but he added something he didn't already have, namely a human nature. And so he became the God-man, God with us. As we just sung in that hymn, our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly, beyond our understanding, became man. Now, if you were to read Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, where Paul says this verse about the time fully coming, God had sent his son, Paul goes on to say that God sent his son, born of a woman and born under the law. Now, of course, the Old Testament tells us that's how it's going to be. Do you remember the Old Testament says that the virgin will give birth to a son, didn't it? And of course, it's true Jesus Christ was born of Mary. And it's important that we understand that because it helps us to realize again that Jesus took on human nature like us. And it takes us back to that scene, doesn't it, in the stable with the baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in the manger. A tiny human baby born of a woman. But you know, the old authorized version of the Bible renders it slightly different. It says, when the fullness of the time had come, God sent his son, made of a woman and made under the law. Now, I don't often prefer the authorized version, but the rendering of made, it's very thought-provoking, isn't it? You see, yes, Jesus was born of a woman, but in a sense that only really scratches at the surface of what this incredible event was. You see, if you make something, you cause it to exist in the form in which you make it. Do you understand that? Yeah? If you make something, you cause it to exist, don't you? Did any of you children have any Lego or Duplo or anything like that for Christmas? You did. So you'll be making stuff with Lego, will you, later on? You don't have any. You're just playing me along, aren't you? Yeah. Well, I know, children, you do have Lego because I've seen you with the building blocks. And you know, when you build things with your Lego, you make things, don't you? You make models. And when the first Legoland opened years ago, you've got Lego as well. Yeah. And when the first Legoland opened, people were amazed at what could be built with Lego. It was beyond their wildest dreams. It could be made into all sorts of incredible things. And you know, when the Apostle Paul says to the churches in Galatia that when the time had fully come and God sent his son, and when we think of him being made of a woman and made under the law, you know, that's really the same principle that Paul is talking about regarding the birth of Jesus. Because in one sense, to be born is an everyday occurrence. According to Channel 4, there's one born every minute. But you know, Jesus Christ was not just another baby who happened to be born. He was not created, was he, in the normal sense of being created and formed through human conception. Do you remember how Jesus is described in Philippians 2? He made himself nothing, and he caused himself to take the very nature of a servant. And it was a very deliberate act, wasn't it, on his part? And so in the words of the Authorized Version, that old version, when Paul says that the time had fully come, God sent his son made of a woman, it means God caused his son deliberately to exist in human form, deliberately caused him to take on human nature. Now, of course, the fact of God making his son take on that form, and Jesus himself saying he took on the form of a servant, doesn't contradict each other. Because in the coming to earth of the Lord Jesus, both the will of God the Father and the love of God the Son for sinners works in perfect harmony. There's no contradiction there. Both Father and Son sing from the same hymn sheet. But the mind-blowing point that we mustn't miss this morning is that while our God is an awesome God of majesty and power, the one who has the ability to come alongside his disciples who are in that boat on the storm on the Sea of Galilee and just say, "Peace be still to the waves." In the words of the carol we sung just earlier, we ask ourselves, what kind of greatness can this be that chose to be made small? For have you ever really wondered what it must have meant for the Son of God to squeeze himself, to make himself into human form? That's why the birth of the Lord Jesus is such an amazing event. It's such a turning point in history, isn't it? And it happened when the time had fully come. And it happened by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who has existed with God the Father and the Spirit before time began, being made of a woman, deliberately caused to exist as a human. But you know, using that wording, it's not just being made of a woman, but also being made under the law. And again, that deliberate sense of being made helps our understanding of what this means. The wonder is that when Jesus was made of a woman and made under the law, it reminds us that actually he was made as we are. Of course, the Bible says the only real difference was that he was without sin. And you know, as God's people, we live, don't we, under the constraints, under the law that God has given us to live. We realize, don't we, what God's law is. It tells us how we should live, things we should do, things we shouldn't do. It talks about our attitudes, our responses. All of those things that God's law we're under the constraints of. And when Jesus Christ took on human form, Paul says, look, he was made under those same constraints of the law. If you know anything about the law, it states that a continual sacrifice had to be offered for sin. The writer of the Hebrews says that. There had to always be an offering for sin because the law decreed that sin had to be paid for. But here's the amazing thing. Jesus Christ was made and caused to exist under the same law that we live under. But he was made under the law so that as the perfect Son of righteousness, he could break the law of sin and death that holds you and me. That's why Paul says, in effect, in this verse to the churches in Galatia, he was made of a woman, made under the law, but he came to redeem us and to give us the full rights of sons. You know, that's amazing, isn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ was made to take on human form. He was made of a woman, made under the law, to set people like you and me free. Today, all over the world, not just in Witham, all over the world, children are receiving gifts and presents from their parents. Why are they receiving gifts from their parents? Because their parents love them. I think it was Finley, wasn't it? You said, was it? Who was it that said?
Ben.
Yes, you said that you received your gift because it was a gift sent in love. And all over the world, children are receiving gifts from their parents because they are loved. And you know, that's exactly what God did for us. Because we are loved, he sent his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem us and to give us those full rights of children. And so as God's children, we can rejoice, can't we, in what God has given us. We can rejoice in the fact that he has given us just what we needed, the right gift at the right time, that we might be redeemed. So the star of the cast of Christmas is in fact Jesus in the manger. God in the manger. The one who is incomprehensibly made man. And as Tim said earlier on, as we go through Christmas Day today, may those truths warm our hearts. May they help us to maybe ponder on them and maybe just think about the enormity of what has happened. That the Lord Jesus Christ should do this for you and for me. And so we worship him and we bow before him and we acknowledge him as our Lord and our Saviour. Bless you. Thank you, Tim.